I'm only playing Ella Fitzgerald because I love Ella Fitzgerald. It's not germane to this show. Hi, it's Rick Cogan. The show's After Hours. The station's WGN, and my guest for this entire hour, as she is almost every January and has been for, lo, these many years now, Julie Ma, who has not only become a dear friend of mine, but she's the president of the Chinese Fine Arts Society. I know that it is the year of the rooster.
Yes, it is.
See, I have learned so much.
So impressive.
It's so impressive.
You did your research.
Yes. Oh, my God. Google is so nice. Every year, the Chinese Fine Arts Society does a number of things, outreach and programs of all sorts during the year. But this is when you really explode, is it not, Julie?
Absolutely. It is our busiest time of year because it is a very important time of year for Chinese people.
Exactly.
It's kind of all the winter holidays and Thanksgiving all rolled into one. And the Chinese New Year or the Spring Festival is the time of year where families get together. It's a time of renewal. You do a lot to prepare for this time of year.
Describe, so. Because I always love it, and people do too, listeners, to describe it. People clean their homes and rearrange things. I mean, there are a lot of things. You know, you think of American or, sort of Western New Year's Eve as, wow, like have a party and have a lot of drinks and make resolutions that you'll fail on in 3 days.
In 3 days.
It is really a lot more wonderfully involved.
So Chinese people are very superstitious, and it's all about bringing good luck for the next year. So one of the things you want to do is clear your life of any bad luck that might be lurking around. So you clean your house, you buy new clothes, you get your hair cut, you do all of these things, you pay your bills, you collect on debts. So you want to start the year with a clean slate. And so you just do all of these things to sweep out any bad luck or any things that are hanging around that might cause you to not have a good year next year.
And these traditions, which are born thousands of years ago in China, are they adhered to by Chinese Americans? Do you, for instance, do that? Do you pay all your bills and rid of your debts and try to
I try, but, you know, this is also the busiest time of year for the Chinese Fine Arts Society, so I have this great guilt hanging over me every year. Oh, my gosh, I didn't finish cleaning and I didn't do this, but I do try. And surprisingly, many of my Chinese American friends also feel this. They feel compelled. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to sweep out the bad luck and bring in the good. So,
well, it's a good theory.
It's something
I guess the point of it is, I mean, you know, if you can't do it all, do what you can.
Exactly. It's actually a good habit, right, to start your year with most everything cleaned up. So it's
what
it's
day
a good
is
idea.
What day is Chinese New Year?
The first day of Chinese New Year is January 28th, and it's a 2 week period that begins that day and then ends 2 weeks later with the Lantern Festival.
Are there any sorts of rites and rituals that extend for the entire 2 weeks?
Absolutely. So the first day of the Chinese New Year, so you've done all this preparation.
Yeah.
And now you just make a big noise. So firecrackers, lion dancers, cymbals, drums, things that make a lot of noise, again, to scare away any bad luck that might still be lurking around. And then actually, if you're in China, there's almost a prescribed set of things that you're supposed to do every day. So there's one day you're supposed to go visit your relatives. There's one day where you're supposed to go visit the ancestral graves. There's one day where you're supposed to sit at home and do absolutely nothing. And so this goes on for 14 days. And then on the last day, you hang lanterns in your windows and, again, to scare away any bad luck that might have decided to come back towards you. So
Wow. It's
a very... there's a lot of ritual around it, but it is a time of year. You know, China pretty much closes down for the first few days of Chinese New Year. Everybody goes home. So it's the biggest travel time of the year. People really try to be with their families, and then they go through all of these things. And it's a really unifying time of the year.
Let me ask you, because a couple of years ago, as I've gotten deeper into your life and the life of the Chinese Fine Arts Society, I went to see a number of young ladies, including your two daughters, rehearsing for some events. And we're going to talk, you're on for the whole hour, we'll talk about all the events the Chinese Fine Arts Society stages and produces. there were a number of adopted children from China whose American parents I talked to were really devoted to teaching them and having them keep the culture that they had left behind. Do you find that to be, you know, sure they're Americanized and I'm sure they, you know, play video games and stuff, but it seems...
So do the Chinese kids.
But it seems so important to some families to maintain that. And I found that charming.
I find that some of the adopted Chinese parents are just the most devoted to keeping the culture, cultural awareness alive in their children. And we have many friends of the Chinese Fine Arts Society, as well as personal friends, that have adopted Chinese children. And they, you know, they make sure that they hear the Chinese language and they participate in dance classes or they learn about Chinese music. And they, I also find it really touching. I just feel that it's so wonderful that they didn't just bring a child over to have them be part of their family. They also still wanted them to hang on to their cultural heritage.
See, I found that to be not only encouraging and charming, but I found it to be incredibly important for these kids.
But it's also a huge effort on the part of those parents. And I've just met so many parents, Chinese parents of adopted Chinese kids that... you know, they started culture clubs so that they would seek the Chinese Fine Arts Society to bring performance to their clubs so that their girls would learn something about
the culture.
Yeah, it's really wonderful.
I think it's fabulous. We have to take a little break, but I have on this entire edition, the Hawks abbreviated edition of After Hours, Julie Ma, who heads the Chinese Fine Arts Society that was started by her mom, and I want to talk a little about that, and then we will spend some time talking about all these incredible events coming up, especially because I saw it last year for the first time it ever came to Chicago, Jackie Chan's
Longying
Kung Fu Troupe. Jackie Chan, one of the leading movie stars of the planet, if not the biggest star on the planet, right? It's an amazing show. Julie Ma, what is that music?
It's called Xi Yang Yang, or Celebration, and it's being performed by the China National Broadcasting Orchestra, which is one of the main central orchestras of China.
It's beautiful.
It's really festive and fun, and it's a piece that you hear all over the place during Chinese New Year, especially.
Well, I've never heard it before. you may have played it here. Julie Ma is in here. She's the president of the Chinese Fine Arts Society, talking about the many events that are surrounding this year's Chinese New Year, which starts on the 28th of January. It is the year of the rooster. What does that mean? Each year is given a different, not
right,
for thousands of years, but a revolving menagerie.
So there's a menagerie of 12 animals, and it goes through that 12-year cycle. But then there's also five elements, water, metal, earth, gold, wood.
Okay.
So actually there are 60 different years. So this year is the year of the fire rooster, and so it only happens once every 60 years.
What does that mean?
So according to Chinese tradition, the year you're born in defines your personality somewhat. So roosters, fire roosters in particular, are supposed to be hardworking, observant, very good timekeepers, and very loyal. And so basically every year there's some characteristics that are assigned to everybody that's born that year. I actually do find that there's some truth to it often, especially because there are things about certain years, like dragons and tigers are not supposed to get along.
Okay.
And my little brother was a dragon, and we didn't get along at all. I'm a tiger, and get along at all for years. So I always thought it was really funny. But there seems to be some truth to it.
You know, it's fascinating. Your mom Barbara came here in 1982 with her husband, George, and started working at the University of Chicago. She also taught piano. She sensed a sort of void in the city. That's not all that long ago. It's 30-some years ago.
Right.
What was that? First of all, she really fell in love with Chicago, did she not?
She loved Chicago, and she loves Chinese culture. In fact, when she came over to the United States, it was on a scholarship where she was a cultural ambassador to the other young ladies attending Skidmore College in upstate New York.
Oh, wow.
And every Sunday, she actually would put on her Chinese dress and take some Chinese music and a pair of chopsticks and go and visit all of these families in Saratoga Springs and tell them a little bit about Chinese culture. And that was part of her scholarship to come over here for grad school. And so she did that. And then she got married to my father, had kids, and kind of put that whole thing aside for a while. But when she came to Chicago, she was almost an empty nester. And she rapidly got involved with the music community because, as you said, she was a piano teacher.
Yeah.
And the Chinese community. And she was asked to organize a concert for teachers around the birth date of Confucius, the consummate teacher. Philosopher and teacher. And so she had these kids perform in this concert, and she had all her music teacher kids send their best kids. And so And so they performed this wonderful concert. But at the end of the concert, my mom felt that it was very disappointing because all these kids were playing Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, and none of them knew anything about Chinese music, and most of them were Chinese. And so she decided that she wanted to correct that. So the next year, she had a concert where the kids had to play a piece of Chinese music from a repertoire that she chose, and then they played a little competition, and the kids that played the best got to play in the concert. And that was the genesis of a competition that was how the Chinese Fine Arts Society was originally founded. But in the process of doing that, she realized that it wasn't just the Chinese kids that didn't know much about Chinese culture. There just wasn't that much Chinese culture other than food in Chinatown.
That always, to me, it's still, even though as good a fight as you're putting up with the Chinese Fine Arts Society, there's still the majority of people, I think, when they think of Chinese culture, think, well, there's some stores in Chinatown and there's some restaurants in Chinatown.
Right. And then there's a big parade in Chinatown.
That's pretty limiting, yeah.
Yeah, and there's so much more to it. It's a 5,000-year-old cultural heritage, and it's amazing. And, you know, actually here in Chicago over the years, you know, we have a wonderful Tang Hall and the Field Museum, and we have this incredible Asian wing at the Art Institute.
Yeah.
We have so much great Chinese culture, but there wasn't a lot of focus being put on it. And so that's what basically compelled my mom to start this organization where our mission is to promote understanding and awareness of Chinese culture, just in Chinatown, we want people to go to Chinatown too, but we also want them to know more about
Since knowing you and learning what little I have learned about the Chinese culture, I got to tell you something. It makes going to Chinatown a hell of a lot more fun and
because you kind of get what is in all those images and what's going on in all those little stores that
I know. Well, I love. I mean, I can spend hours in those little stores. I don't know what I'm looking at half the time, but
you know more than you did.
I know. Well, you've taught me. You're my mentor and philosopher about this. After your mom died in 2008, you really took this over, and then you took it over full time, right?
Yes, I was volunteering even when she was here. But then I felt after my mom passed away, I realized that what the Chinese Fine Arts Society was doing in Chicago was filling a void in the cultural landscape. And so I wanted to make sure that we did what we could to transition it from an all-volunteer kind of institution to one that has staff and is funded so that it could go on into perpetuity even if there are no Tiaos. My mom was a Tiao, Tiaos or Ma's involved anymore, that what we were doing was important for Chicago. And so that's what I've been doing.
How have you dealt with the, over the years, the bureaucracy that, can be and is the city of Chicago?
You know, we've had pretty good support, actually, from the city. Certainly since 2014, when Mayor Emanuel declared that he wanted Chicago's Chinese New Year celebration to be the biggest one in the country,
yes,
which is daunting given New York and San Francisco.
Yes, but, of course. Yeah.
But actually, it was remarkable how the city reacted to that, because the next year, Choose Chicago signed this agreement with the Chinese Ministry of Culture to bring artists over every year during Chinese New Year and also during the World Music Festival. And then, and now, if you look at so where we were in 2008, we would do a Chinese New Year celebration at Daily Center, and we would do a few things.
A few things, minor.
Schools and libraries and nursing homes. And now we have, you know, the Art Institute, the Symphony Center. We have Navy Pier. We are doing a kickoff at the Cultural Center. We've got Auditorium Theater.
And this Jackie Chan thing.
Yes.
There is so much going on. You can, while you're listening to news, but don't ignore the news and commercials, go to ChineseFineArts.org. That's where you can find all the information. We are going to get into deeper details. That is the famous Chinese chanteuse Ella Fitzgerald. I'm just playing Ella Fitzgerald because I was listening to Ella Fitzgerald this week. My guest is Julie Ma, the head of the Chinese Fine Arts Society. And this is a very, very... The Chinese Fine Arts Society is a year... It does things all throughout the year. And you should look into it, ChineseFineArts.org. But this is the big time because it surrounds Chinese New Year. The first thing, Julie Ma, is the big kickoff celebration. Where and when is that?
So the big kickoff celebration is at the Chicago Cultural Center.
Free for everybody.
At noon on January 30th, the Monday of Chinese New Year. And it will feature our signature artists, the Longyuan Kung Fu troupe from Beijing, but also some wonderful local artists, musicians, and some dancers, some really wonderful little dance troupe.
Some of the ones I've seen.
Some of the ones you've seen.
Yeah,
they've grown up a little bit.
Well, but the thing is, they rehearse all year, too.
They do. They rehearse all year, and they actually perform all year. But
I have never seen a group of young ladies rehearsing who were so thrilled by the act of rehearsal.
They really form bonds. So they're friends as well. You know, they're just a very tight troupe, and they're just wonderful. And so that's at the Cultural Center. And actually, we do have one event even before that at the Art Institute on the actual Chinese New Year Day. On the 28th. And I'm actually very excited about that because this is the first time the Art Institute has done a big public event for Chinese New Year. And so we're working with our wonderful partners there. And we will be having an afternoon of music, calligraphers, and in the Griffin Court, as well as in the modern, throughout the modern wing.
Oh, fantastic.
And there's also another troupe coming over from China, an opera troupe, and they'll be doing a little showcase there as well. So
wow. It's
also going to be an
Is this the first time you've done things at the Art Institute?
No, actually, we've been partnering with them for a few years. We've done some wonderful concerts there. We're planning another one there this spring. And we also did an event for Moon Festival last fall where we reenacted the story of
Festival. That's my
so,
favorite.
So, but this is the first time they've done Chinese New Year, and they've translated their tours into Chinese, and then they have this little rooster and chicken tour. So they've got all this art throughout the museum, not just in the Asian wings that they've found that have that depict roosters or chickens. So they've really gotten into it, and they're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic. So that's on the 28th.
That's on the 28th, starting at 11 o'clock. And then, but then our big signature event is this troupe from Beijing, the Jackie Chan Lungren Kung Fu troupe. That
all right, give me and the listeners some background. I know, give the listeners some background on this. I mean, everybody knows who Jackie Chan is. He's a very popular American star, but he's arguably among the top five most popular movie stars on this planet.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's so incredible about him is that, in addition to being this amazing martial artist and movie star, he's really a great philanthropist and has great vision for Chinese art. So he's so multifaceted. But this troupe is a group originated with this group of 11 artists, some of the top martial artists in the country that he handpicked.
In the country of China.
In the country of China.
Yes.
So he went through the martial arts schools throughout the country and picked 11 guys. And then he trained them for 10 years.
I know. This is the amazing part of this thing.
It's not like he just picked a bunch of martial artists and put together a show.
Which he also might have been okay.
Yes, which would have been, I mean, which he also has done.
Yeah.
But these guys, he not only trained them in various styles of Chinese martial arts, but he also trained them in classical ballet, traditional Chinese dance. He taught them all how to play piano. They can all sing. Literature. So he made them into these Renaissance men who are just so broad. And
they must have started when they were, I mean, he must have gotten them
as young as when they were 11. The youngest one was 11. And so then they created this new art form, which basically melds these different styles of Chinese martial arts with traditional Chinese dance. Movements that you would traditionally only see women do. And they've melded them together to create this completely new art form, which, of course, references these two sources, but it's just completely compelling and different and new.
But so, it came to the United States for the first time last year, correct?
They came to Chicago for the first time.
For the first time
last year. They've only been in the U.S. one time before that. And they performed at the Logan Center in Chicago last year. Two sold-out shows, standing ovations. You were actually there.
I was standing and ovating, too, yeah. It was an astonishing. I've never seen anything. I've seen a lot of shows, and I've never seen anything like it. It was storytelling in dance and music and artful sort of displays. Talk more about it. They're different acts.
There are different acts, and it's basically telling the story of a Kung Fu master's road to becoming a full person. So it's not just about learning the martial arts. It's learning about how to be and what. And so it actually references a great deal of Chinese philosophy of, it starts with kind of the origins of the martial arts, but then also about the relationship of the master and the student and how you want to be a person. And so you go through these five acts and at the end you become a Kung Fu master, which is not actually about the being able to do the martial arts, but it's actually more of a way of life or a philosophy.
Last year, I couldn't stay for the after party at the Logan Center after this amazing thing because the kid had to go to school. But these young men seemed as sort of in performance as ebullient and lively.
They love their art.
And it was palpable and sincere.
Exactly. And so I saw them first in Beijing and had the same reaction that you did. I saw them and I said, oh, my goodness, we need to bring these artists to Chicago because I just love that juxtaposition of the old, the traditional, and the contemporary and the new. And so we're so excited to bring them back this year to Auditorium Theater, you know, to this
gigantic stage.
And I mean, it was wonderful. Last year's performance was wonderful.
Yeah, the Logan's a great space.
And but it's such a wonderful opportunity to put them on this full-size stage with just huge ceiling height and let them do everything that they can do.
Julie Marr, you're a charming and intelligent and persuasive woman. How were you able to get this? Because they'd only played in Texas.
So this was actually part of this, again, back to Mayor Emanuel's charge to the city. So Choose Chicago signed this memorandum of understanding with the Chinese Ministry of Culture to bring artists over. And I advocated because I went with the a variety of cultural leaders from Chicago to witness the signing of that agreement in 2015.
In Beijing.
And that was when we saw these artists the first time. And they were part of
a special performance for you?
Yes, it was a special performance for us where they actually did this wonderful showcase of all kinds of art, puppeteers, opera singers, dancers, acrobats. But then we saw these guys, and I was awestruck. I have been looking at Chinese art, performing
for your whole life.
Yeah,
for my whole life.
And in great detail in the last decade.
Sure.
And I have never seen anything like these guys. So I just advocated very strongly that they should be the first artists that came over under this agreement.
Good going.
And they were so successful last year. But it all came together kind of quickly because after the agreement was signed, we came back. It was a compressed schedule, so we weren't able to let them do everything we would like to them to do. This year we're not only having this main stage performance at the amazing Auditorium Theater, but we're also doing a school matinee so kids can come during the day in a field trip and see them perform at Benito Juarez.
They're going to be just blown away.
And then we're also offering a couple of master classes to people with dance or martial arts background where they can interact with these guys for an hour and a half and learn some moves.
Oh.
And so I'm so happy that we were able to bring them back this year to give them kind of the full Chicago treatment.
Sure,
and
sure.
Let them, also give them a little bit more time to see
the city.
Last year it was such a... it was just such a packed schedule that we really didn't get to let them see all the beautiful things.
I want to talk more about these young men. We got to take a little break, and then we'll come back. And again, all of the information of all the things we're talking about and the way in which to get tickets is available at ChineseFineArts.org. We'll be right back. That's Ella Fitzgerald, just because I've been listening to Ella Fitzgerald this week. Rick Kogan, After Hours, WGN. I have a couple more minutes with Julie Mon. We're going to send her out of here in about 5 minutes, and we're going to play another piece. What are we going to play for your farewell song?
We're going to play a piece called High Mountain, Falling Water. It's a very traditional piece for the Chinese guzheng, which is the 21-stringed zither.
Oh, yeah.
And it will also be featured at the Cultural Center.
Okay, so we're going to play that when I say, Julie, it's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Which is in about 5 minutes. You've met Jackie Chan.
We had the opportunity very briefly, and he's so.
Explain to me, and again, I am telling you, his kung fu troupe is a combination of dance and music and artfulness and staging and production values, the likes of which I have never, ever seen. I don't care what kind of, I saw a Chinese dance troupe or a Chinese acrobats thing. It's unlike anything you've ever heard of or seen before, because Jackie Chan found 11 most talented young martial artists and athletes in China and put them together. Why did he do this, Julie? It's obvious. I mean, it's a philanthropic venture for him.
I think he has this vision for Chinese art that it should continue to evolve, that it's not...
And
so I think he really had this idea that he wanted to do something with these guys, and that's why he took the time to train them in all these different art forms. And then to come up with something new. And I think that that was basically what drove this troupe. And that's why what they do is so interesting, because you can definitely see the traditional elements from both dance and martial arts.
Uh-huh.
But then the way they put it together is like nothing you've seen before.
Yeah.
And I think that it's this idea of having a living culture. It's not just this 5,000-year-old heritage, but it's also one that's continuing to evolve. And that was kind of what drove
It's like Lin Miranda with Broadway,
right,
too.
Exactly.
I mean, in Hamilton, you see something brand new, but certainly based on the traditions of Broadway and music.
Exactly.
I don't know how much more, Julie Ma, and I can tell you to go to this thing.
Come to the Auditorium Theater on February 4th. Yeah. It is really an...
Well, that's obviously why you made the leap. It had two very sold-out successful shows at the Logan Theater in Hyde Park, which is a very, very nice space.
It's lovely, but the stage is much smaller.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's a different kind of stage.
Sure.
And so, yes, we had... we were so happy with that production, but we did want... because we know that what they want for their full production is a stage the size of the one at Auditorium. And so we really wanted to bring them back to, one, give a lot more people a chance to see them, because the Auditorium Theater seats thousands of people.
Yeah.
And also to give them a chance to do their full show on a big stage. And
me, Julie Marr, that I didn't see that Fiona Kogan and I saw on that stage was not their full show.
What you saw was an incredible show sized down to that stage.
Gotcha.
Because that stage is smaller.
So this would be more expansive and more artful and more movement and more... it was virtually indescribable the first time I saw it, and I can't even imagine how great it's going to be at the auditorium on February 4th. How do you rest after all this? How do you rest? I mean, you have plan. I mean, the Chinese Fine Arts Society does things throughout the year too.
We usually do try and take a little breather. We do have quite a few events already planned for March, so it's going to be a very short breather this year. But we do try and rest, go do something completely different that has nothing to do with anything. Maybe take a little vacation with the kids and go skiing or something.
Obamas. Let's see. That's what the Obamas are probably up to.
But, it is important to rest, because Chinese New Year is a very, very busy time for us.
Yeah.
But it's also a really joyful time for us because...
Sure.
It's a time when you do see so much of the city, coming out for these types of performances.
Yeah.
And so it's really rewarding to have done all of this and then have people love
people
the shows.
Smile, I know. So. Julie Ma, you're the best. Julie Ma is the president of the Chinese Fine Arts Society. You can get all sorts of information and get tickets to all the things we've been talking about, some of which are free, at ChineseFineArt.org. I'm going to say good night, and lovely to see you, Julie Ma. And Aubrey's going to play a bit of a bit more Chinese music as you walk out the door.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, honey, anytime.